This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers, Thursday, April 6th. Welcome in one and all, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Back at it, more rookies. More chitter chatter about the rookies.
More chitter chatter, more pitter patter.
All of those about the rookies. Not a lot of news to cover, so we'll be able to dive in. Wide receivers, tight ends today.
I want to let everybody know that I'm in a good mood. I want to let everyone here know.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know.
I am so happy to hear that, Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm happy to share it. I just want to get that out of the way.
Is it because you were sending a different message physically?
It's because I think the rest of the show is going to be like, man, what is wrong with Jason? Because I got a lot of negativity on today's show. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of prospects I don't like.
Okay. Wow. And that's a preview I didn't expect.
Is that
because they're not named Bijan?
Yeah. Wait, he's not on this episode?
Just got done with the first Dynasty podcast episode yesterday.
And you mean that because the recording might still be going on.
Yeah, that is the Dynasty running back podcast, right? It's running backs every week. Is that what you're covering or did you actually get through them all?
We could cover them every week. We got through a ton. We went much, much deeper than we did on the last main episode here. So if you want to hear about far more of the prospects, you can just search for the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Show, and that's where we cover it. But it was an 80-minute episode, so.
So check that out, Fantasy Footballers Dynasty, Spotify, Apple. It's a delight, I will add.
It truly is.
And so, and it scratches your dynasty itch, or, you know.
Yeah, yep. Just to that's what they say.
To come up with another way to put it.
My dynasty has been itching.
Yeah.
Oh man. You might want to go to a doctor.
Do they have a cream for that?
I don't know. They got a podcast.
But they have a podcast.
Listen to two of these and call me in the morning.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Twitter at the FF Ballers. The community's over at jointhefoot.com. You get an extra show over there, the Footcast, which we'll be recording this afternoon. And lots of good stuff going on. We have a quick question, and I was thrilled to see this one in here before the show. Because I just want to talk about this player. But Andrew in British Columbia writes in, he says, I haven't heard a lot of talk about Rashad White this offseason. With Lenny gone, what do you think the range of outcomes are for White? Where does he rank among running backs in redraft? I have been kind of dying to talk about Rashad White. I don't know where you two stand in the kind of talent evaluation category. Last year, you definitely saw some games that were, I think, a sign of what could be to come for Rashad White. He was a third-round draft pick last year. Leonard Fournette will not be the running back in Tampa Bay. And so there's going to be an opportunity here for Rashad White. And, you know, we're going to – is it next week, Brooks, we're going over our top 20 running backs, like early rankings?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I saw him in that list. And, you know, he's a player that I put on that category of maybe – you know, this could be a top 24 guy. This could be a top 15 guy if things went the right way. And I think a lot of that has to do with his ability to do it all.
Yeah, obviously his success last year came in the receiving game. He was not very effective or efficient. He was very disappointing to me because when you talk about the talent evaluation of Rashad White, I thought he was an explosive athlete who would do better on the ground than he did.
Was it the 3.7 yards per attempt that he averaged on the ground?
The 3.7 yards per attempt were pretty not great, and then he made up for it by, he caught 50 passes. He had 58 targets. That's great, and obviously he was a limited player as far as snaps because Leonard Fournette was there. So now with Leonard Fournette gone, there is clearly an opportunity here for him to step up. I am a little bit more negative on my outlook towards him for two reasons.
You already previewed that.
Right.
We already knew that was going to be the case.
I gave people a heads up. I'm still a happy man. but he's not
happy to go around.
He's not having Tom Brady throw the ball umpteen billion times and check it down to the running back all day long. So the pass catching that saved him last year from his ineffective running, I think disappears. And they currently are one of the highest odds.
That doesn't
odd
make any sense. Why would it disappear?
Because
Leonard Fournette caught 75 balls himself.
But you're the one who's been talking about how Tom Brady was the reason that all those things were happening.
But it's not. It doesn't go from like something to nothing at the. If he's the starting running back on this team with pass catching chops, and mind you, ran better on the ground than Lenny did. We know what that offensive line was last year. It was a disaster.
I certainly see the path towards great fantasy production, but the Vegas markets
now. You said disappear, which that's what I took issue with, is the idea that
he's not going to go.
He's going to become the starter and somehow lose all of his receiving work.
I think he can become the starter and lose total receiving work. He can have lower receptions next year as the full-time starter than he had in the 47% of snaps he played this last year. That's my outlook with the quarterback change there. But also, this is a team that, I mean, we're a couple weeks away from the draft as of this recording, but they have pretty high odds to go after a running back in replacement of Leonard Fournette. So TBD to see who they add to the team, but I don't believe they'll go in with the depth chart as it stands now.
No, I'm trying to pull it up. I mean, it's like, so you have Rashad White, who will be the leader. You have, Chase Edmonds ended up on that team? Is that accurate?
Yeah,
Chase
Edmonds.
Totally forgot about that.
He's hanging out for camp.
Okay, so this is the depth chart. Chase Edmonds, Keyshawn Vaughn, still managing to hold on to that team. And then Patrick Laird from Miami fame, he's holding on there. They are 100% adding a body to that depth chart. How high up in the draft, we shall see. I chuckled over here because Andy was like, he ran better than Leonard Fournette. I'm like, that's impossible. 3.7? Yeah, Leonard Fournette was at 3.5. That was a disaster. And I had missed we were doing this as our quick question, or I would have pulled it up, but it's like, has Baker Mayfield ever shown us that this is how he likes to play football, of checking it down frequently to the running back position? Because Tom Brady, that's been his MO, it's essentially his entire career, this is what he did. He would, everything's really, really short. Occasionally they'll go over the top, but it's just such a, it's such a specific Tom Brady trait to throw to the quarterback that much. So
running back.
To the running back position, that I would have my concerns there. And if he's getting 50 receptions again, but he's not adding in a bunch of carries on the ground, it won't be great. So I guess I'm more pessimistic.
I just feel like he's in the same situation that Ramondre's in right now, where you lost your incumbent banger, and right now you don't have anybody else on the depth chart.
But I believe Ramondre is good. I don't know if Rashad White is good.
Okay.
So that, I guess that's what it comes down to. If I didn't on the field, it was fine.
All right. So we you know, we'll go over it on Monday. We'll talk, or on Tuesday. We'll talk through the top 20. Rashad won't be there, but he's one of those players that will have a starting opportunity next year as it sits right now. UltimateDraftKit.com if you want to check out the Dynasty Pass. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Not a lot, but we have music.
They're back, baby.
Welcome to Arizona.
Dominating the offseason headlines with good stuff.
I mean, we didn't really need to talk about this other than the opportunity to play the music, but yada, yada, yada. Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell accused of cheating, accused of workplace misconduct of various sorts, which, I mean, look, that fits the bill considering they had, they had a general manager who was suspended for extreme DUI.
Yeah,
they've had several issues with front office and coaching personnel being suspended, fired, and they're being sued by Steve Wilks actively right now, former head coach.
Yep. So the big one that's going on right now, though, is said suspended GM, who former general manager Steve Keim was suspended, I think, 5 weeks or so, and it was a suspension of no contact with the team. Well, this former Cardinals employee is accusing Michael Bidwell of saying that Bidwell instructed him to get a burner phone to Steve Keim so that they could remain in contact but keep it off of the books. Why? The reason we're talking about it, again, to crap on the Cardinals, but two, if this moves forward and there is some proof of this, this will be draft picks, or a draft pick or draft picks taken away from the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to come of this overall. It's early days. I think unless a bunch of other people come forward right now, there's probably not a lot to worry about, but who knows? Just more dysfunction in an organization that was 10-2 and being talked about as a Super Bowl contender, and from that moment on has been a catastrophic off-the-cliff train wreck.
It's all right, guys. I think we have the highest odds of getting the number one pick this year. So that's pretty sweet.
As long as they hold on to it.
Assuming it's not taken away.
Just remember, after the Green Bay game, you know, a couple years back, that's when Al Borland posterized us. He just dunked all over us. Ever since that moment, that's when everything really fell apart.
Yeah.
So do you take credit for the demise of the Arizona Cardinals? Al Borland.
I take no credit.
No.
How about the demise of the Packers?
Yeah.
I take no credit for that either.
All right. And then the Patriots have been shopping Mac Jones.
Yeah, that's been reported by Mike Florio. It's been disputed by the Patriots. But obviously, I think in the end, it's the Patriots aren't sitting there thinking Mac Jones is the is going to be the quarterback that leads them to success on a big second contract.
Yeah, and that'd be a huge problem for them to commit to him then, because if he's good enough but not great, then you feel backed into
that's
a corner.
That's the worst spot to be in.
Rather zap, zap, zap.
Right.
Or make a trade, or, I don't know, Lamar Jackson's there. You know, if anybody wants him, maybe go get him.
Yeah.
Anything else, Brooksy?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. It is time. Let's jump into those rookies.
Hey, rookie. Welcome to the NFL.
All right, we just covered the running back position, the quarterback position on Tuesday's episode. We're overviewing the wide receivers and tight ends today. If you want that deep dive, you can go into the Dynasty show. 80 minutes of running backs.
Yes.
It'll fix the itch.
Yeah, it will do that. So, wide receivers is next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
And we do mean all next week. It'll be recording starting Monday morning, and the show will end Friday afternoon. No, the wide receiver position, let's dig in. And I'm really, you know, I was excited about this show until I knew that these negative bombs were going to come dropping out of the sky from Jason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But now I just want to know who sucks.
Well, we'll get to them. Look, we're going to start with a couple guys I really like. So we'll bring some positive sugar in here.
Okay. Is there negative
positive
sugar?
Positive sugar?
Is it
some positivity, some sweetness, some syrup, okay. Some sugar, all
some,
those things.
Some ionized sugar.
Yeah, some electrons.
electrons? You mean electrolytes? Some electrons, some neutrons. Maybe a proton or two.
Protons are positive, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
There we go.
That's right. You said positive. I was trying to get into the science.
Science!
I talk football for a living. I mean, this is... I got close enough. Those are all part of an atom or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nailed it.
All right. A reminder, and I'll say this at the top. We are talking about our rookie rankings in as much as how they affect fantasy football. You know, this is a time when draft pundits are out there communicating about the talent and ability of all these wide receivers. Everything that they're talking about is in relation to where they might, you know, stack up from a talent perspective. We are looking at it through the lens of fantasy football, and those things are often directly aligned, but not always. And you saw that last episode talking about Anthony Richardson at quarterback. Saw some people thinking we were making him our number one prospect in terms of NFL quarterback potential. No, we were talking about fantasy upside because he can run the football.
There are a lot of guys who have been great for their NFL teams who do not affect, you know, Tavon Austin in fantasy circles is just a worthless player. He has not been worthless to certain NFL franchises through his career. There's plenty of players where they make an impact on the field on a couple of big plays, on special teams, and in a number of important ways that help get W's that do not matter for fantasy football, and we don't care about them.
So our rookie rankings begin with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, wide receiver out of Ohio State. And Jason, you said it. We're starting with some guys that you really like. What's not to like about JSN?
I mean, you want a faster 40? Yeah, is that right? You want him to play on the outside a little bit more? Maybe those are like the two knocks that you hear. But when I watch his game, there's nothing on film I don't like. He's always open. He's got great hands. He's got great body control. He's an excellent route runner. He's quick and explosive. He's productive. He's young. To me, he is a locked-in, guaranteed prospect of success. That doesn't mean he's Jamar Chase and he's going to be Justin Jefferson and be a superstar for fantasy, but I see him as an extremely safe prospect. But I do see upside. I do see upside of him being, you know, a top six NFL fantasy wide receiver in the future. That's not necessarily where I project him at, but I think he is a rock solid prospect.
As a sophomore, just absolutely dominant, cause, and that was in 2021. 2022, season completely lost to injury, so we have to go back to 2021, where he had 95 catches, over 1,600 yards, 9 touchdowns, and this was playing on the field alongside first-round wide receivers Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, and yet they... Not all three of them played every single game, so some production came, you know, when those guys weren't on the field. Some came when just one of them were on the field. But you cannot deny those numbers. I mean, those are absolutely electric, and you have Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, both when asked of who was the best wide receiver on that team, they both say it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. The knock is the slot snaps. How will that translate? Because in that breakout campaign, he was in the slot 90% of the time. 90% of his snaps were there. Now, the name Justin Jefferson, that's the big hope. Because his huge year, his final year of college production, Justin Jefferson was in the slot nearly 99% of his snaps. And that's, I think, why he fell in the draft compared, you know, to the other big wide receivers who got drafted that year. But things are changing. So you have Jefferson's number at 99. Jalen Waddle was a 68% slot wide receiver back when he had his really big year in college. So that's your hope. Your hope is that JSN turns into a Justin Jefferson type. Because, I mean, like physically speaking, they aren't that different of size and stature.
And the way they move is somewhat similar. I don't know if you guys, when you scouted which games you looked at, but there was a Nebraska game, and there was a specific play, a toe tap touchdown. It is one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life. The ball was thrown basically out of the back of the end zone, and he goes and he jumps out of the end zone. I mean, he's nowhere near the paint. It's like the announcers are like, oh, incomplete. The two refs right next to him, they wave it off, incomplete. And then you look at the replay, and he go-go gadget stretched 1 foot back into the bounds right before his body hit the – it was unbelievable body control. He can do some really special things, and while, you know, we can't just say he's going to be Justin Jefferson and be able to move to the outside and dominate there, this NFL, you got Cooper Kupp, who might be even better than Justin Jefferson in fantasy, who's in the slot. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's dominating from the slot. Keenan Allen. I'm not worried about the slot thing. He's a great talent. Hopefully, you know, the ceiling is limitless, but his floor is pretty high to me.
Is there any chance he's not the first wide receiver off the board
in the NFL draft? A chance, sure.
Okay.
Because there's – I think that mostly comes down to Quentin Johnston from TCU because he's more prototype – NFL wide receiver to a lot of these GMs. Bigger player, you know, just a size speed freak and played on the outside. That would be that's the only way I see it happening.
I just remember scouting Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, but having your eyeballs drawn to JSN throughout that scouting process. And that's kind of what you had to do because last year was a lost season. That's one thing I haven't seen brought up almost at all. Like, I think it's being conceded almost, at least in the circles that I've been reading articles about and listening to people, is there no concern about injury? Is there no concern about the lost season? Or is everybody just viewing this through the lens of kind of like what we saw with Ja'Marr Chase, where he didn't play football for a long time and it didn't matter?
Yeah, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase took the year off. That was the COVID time. This was different because it was injury, and so you can worry about injury. And honestly, there were worries about injury. He was going into pre-combine sports books, he was the third to be drafted at the wide receiver odds wise. But then the combine came and he destroyed it with his explosiveness. And you went, oh, he's fully healthy. I mean, he was like 98th percentile on some of his explosion stuff. So
Combine wasn't even around after he got done with it. That's how
he just burned it up.
Cones were everywhere. In the streets?
So it was a lost season. It wasn't a good 2022. That's why going into this early, you know, January, February, I think people were down on JSN. But the more that we've gone back and remembered that tape.
The combine fixed it.
When we left last year,
we
were, as a group, talking already about, well, we know next year there's this Bijan guy and there's Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
That was a year ago, and nothing has changed from their talent.
Yeah, I think there was definitely a point in time where JSN was probably going to be the number one pick in rookie drafts.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, he was going back. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back with number two on our list.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever. But sometimes you bottle those things up too long and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, number two on our rookie rankings. Recently, he moved to number two on my personal rankings.
Ah, you have joined us.
Is it? Do you? Are you both there?
Yep.
So Jordan Addison, out of USC, is now number two, I guess, on all three of our rankings at the wide receiver position. I think the draft capital will be very good for Jordan Addison. That's part of the focus, I think, and just smaller player, hyper skilled, movement skills off the chart. Why do you have him at number two? And have you wavered there with the likes of Quentin Johnston or others?
He's been locked into my number two spot. The only time that I wavered was when he literally stepped on a scale and was 173 pounds.
He wavered.
Because
there was a slight breeze.
Right. He was a wafer on the scale. And so that is the big knock, right? You don't usually have guys with his height and weight be super uber successful. But you also don't usually have guys his height and weight drafted in the first round. You don't have guys his height and weight who are the Biletnikoff Award winner for being the best wide receiver, which not this past year, but the year prior, he was. Reminds a lot of people of Devonta Smith in that way. You know, everyone was talking about his BMI won't work because historically, people with that BMI, they are terrible and they suck. Well, again, historically, people with that BMI, they're not drafted high, and they don't do in college what he did. He is a special wide receiver, and so I kind of have had to wash my hands of the weight when it comes to him. Mike, one of your things to remember on the Things to Remember episode was that wide receiver weight is changing a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. Lighter, faster wide receivers are getting more regular play in this modern NFL, and I think that it fits the skill set of Jordan Addison. The reason I've got him up high, not only is he extremely productive, 2 years ago at Pitt, 100 receptions, 1,593 receiving yards and 17 touchdowns, but it's the way he moves. He's an unbelievably good explosive route runner who just gets open and has a good feel for the game.
I'm trying to think of first round wide receivers over the last 10 years or so that were in this size and did have success. You brought up Devonta Smith. Was Hollywood a first round pick?
Yes, he was.
Yes,
and Hollywood was very undersized, mm-hmm. but high draft capital. I think the not just a pure burner category is probably an important. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking through this because you have had the John Rosses and the Henry Ruggs and some of those lighter frame but just burner type of, you know, combine 40 guys.
Yeah.
But Hollywood's another example of somebody that wasn't necessarily prototypical, that has made a mark and made a mark as a rookie right away, and he was undervalued.
Yep.
If you think about the way fantasy drafts went.
Jahan Dotson last year was undervalued. You know, you'd get him in the second round of your rookie drafts when he was a first-round NFL draft pick, and then what'd he do? Just got a bunch of touchdowns and was really good on the field?
Yeah, and you hope you don't. I mean, there have been some whiffs in that category, and you brought one up already today, unbeknownst to you, but Tavon Austin. I mean, Tavon Austin was a first-round pick that not a great fantasy impact. But Jordan Addison is I think he's an elite wide receiver. And he has elite ball skills. He can get separation, and I think we still don't measure separation well enough, I think, in the scouting process. And you see players that get to the NFL level and surprise people.
Yeah, there's players that are just smarter than people, and that's a very difficult thing to get on an analytic spreadsheet for us nerds of like, well, how are you really that much smarter? And because when you're Jordan Addison and you're working with a 10th percentile height adjusted speed score, that's not great. Like if he truly is drafted in the first, which by all accounts he should be, it will be a pretty wild thing that a wide receiver of his stature who doesn't have elite athleticism a team is going to trust their future in him with a first-round pick, it's pretty wild. But the production is off the charts over the past 2 years. You know, almost 3 yards per route run, which for that stat, that's incredible. Like, that's a really, really high number to be averaging over the past 2 years. To go from Pittsburgh, where he won the award, like Jason said, decides to transfer to go to USC, and it sounded like that was a difficult situation with, like, the coaching. I think there was some people not getting along there, so he wanted out. Goes and he has a great year over at USC, just his first year in that system, working with a brand-new quarterback, brand-new offensive coordinators in system and everything. So the fact that he has dominated multiple years in a row, we'll get that draft capital. I'm very excited for Jordan Addison for fantasy football.
Let's talk about number 3 on our list. Jason, are we entering a new category of your negativity here? Or let us know when it gets somber. I don't know if we have lights for that.
We're going down the staircase here. Obviously, as we go down the rankings, we go down a little bit. And I've skipped one step. Okay,
that's a bold move, going down the stairs.
You don't want to do it, but I have to do it. And so I've skipped a step going down.
It's easy to trip and fall.
Well, I'm going to be skipping several steps soon. So
well, look,
I'm living dangerously.
A broad jump down the stairs.
One of the things I can't stand about Jason is that he doesn't like the guys at the bottom of his rankings as much as the guy at the top.
Right.
I mean, every single time you build rankings, you like the top guys more. Quentin Johnston, TCU, behemoth of a man.
Number 3 by default.
Number 3. Look, I will get out of the way. I will let you skip the step. But I believe the draft capital and the physicality of Quentin Johnston, his size, his explosiveness, his ability to, you know, what is he, 98th percentile explosive score, and he can leap 6'3", 208. I think it's going to translate so easy to the NFL level, and he's going to be drafted with the capital that makes him relevant right away. You know, I don't think I see him much different than the way maybe I was looking at Treylon Burks last year. I think that might be a similar viewpoint, which was kind of like, look, it's not my favorite player to ever come out at wide receiver, but neither was, who am I thinking of with Carolina? Big boy. Who got real
Kelvin
big.
Like Kelvin Benjamin?
Kelvin Benjamin. It was like that rookie year for Kelvin Benjamin was an outstanding year. I think touchdowns are going to come easy to Quentin Johnston. So I just think he's somebody that if the draft capital was that much higher than Addison, I'd flip him back real quick.
Okay.
So let me put it that way, and then you
guys
can
talk. He was your number 2, and Addison was your number 3. That's how it was before the recent change?
Yes, okay. Yes. And I just have more confidence in Addison and the impression he's making on teams, NFL teams, to where I think that draft capital will be very, very close. If not, you know, much better than Johnston. But it comes down to what team is looking for what piece, and they don't want to make a mistake. And I think all 3 of these guys might go first round.
Yeah, I believe all 3 will be drafted in the NFL first round. Quentin Johnston was a little bit lower for me. He was 4, and I moved him up to 3. Watched more film even this morning. I like a lot of what I see on Quentin Johnston's film, and when you're talking about range of outcomes for fantasy, he has a higher, you could argue he has the highest potential ceiling of everyone in this draft class because of his physicality, because of his height and weight and ability to be a red zone threat the way that you don't presume someone like Jordan Addison would be. The only reason that Quentin Johnston is so low, being at 3, is that he does have some holes in his game. He wasn't a prolific producer, you know, 60 receptions, and he wasn't, he didn't play to his size and his strength, contested catches. We saw drops quite often. I think when it comes to the catch point with Quentin Johnston, he's got some work to do. It's funny. He has this one move. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, or cared about it as much as I did. He's got a lot of yards after the catch, and that's been talked about a lot. It's almost always, it's like he's got this one move.
Where he goes to the bag of tricks, and there's one trick?
Yes, there's one trick. Oh, he's coming back to the ball, and he catches it, and then he does like a spin move to his right. It's always the same direction, gets him every time. It's like, I feel like in the NFL, he's going to need a few more tricks than just that one. So there's some holes in his game, but there's a lot of talent. And you know, his explosiveness will allow him to have big plays, high ceiling for fantasy. I would certainly draft him as my third wide receiver.
Yeah, he's very confusing to me because he is the most prototypical, like I said, of the wide receivers we're talking about. But for a guy to have, you know, of contested targets, the lowest catch percent of anyone that we are going to talk about on this show. We're talking over the past 2 years, Q has caught 40.5% of his contested targets. That's not good when you're supposed to be this big behemoth. Like, that's your game, is I'm big, I'm going to play big. Well, that's playing small. That's playing weak. And then you have the drop rate up near 10% as well. Like, there's some very scary things about him as on top of things that are just very, very alluring.
I think one thing that should be mentioned about him, at least on film, is that he could get lost in a secondary. Like, he would get behind the defense, and he's faster than I think people give him credit for. When you talk about, you know, catch him with your body, I know that's a criticism he receives. You know, watching him at the combine, going up to get some balls. Look, you can catch it with your body if you're cradling a bomb from your quarterback and you're 20 yards behind the defense. I think that he's going to be one of those players drops. And I think he's going to be one of those players that just maybe isn't as flashy, maybe isn't the, you know, we don't have that Jamar Chase specimen this year. Johnson's not as big as like a player that maybe he'd get comp to, like a Vincent Jackson, who was a little bit taller, a little bit heavier. Like, we're looking at Quentin Johnson, but we're also stacking him up against JSN and against Addison and some of these smaller guys. And yeah, he's the biggest of the bunch, but he's also not Calvin Johnson. He's not Vincent Jackson.
No, despite what college profiles said about him. He was supposed to be 6'4", 700 pounds. I don't know why these college programs are allowed to say anything they want about the size, the height, and weight of their players.
It's
but they've
so
got to
weird.
Regulate that because it's never, ever true.
Like, what do you weigh? Tell them 225. Like, the NFL's going to find out. Like, they're not just going to take the word of the school. Like, he's 225. Don't bother checking.
Yeah.
Just believe it.
I do think Johnston is boom bust. I can see him being great, and I can see him being one of these bigger bodied wide receivers that does struggle. I saw someone comp him to Breshad Perriman, and I was like,
yeah, that'd be bad.
Ooh, that's a that'd pretty be bad good comp. He's fast. He's big. He's
I think boom bust is right though, because you're going to have, this is not a 120 reception type of player.
No,
he doesn't profile to do that. So. Let's move on, though. Let's talk about I'm surprised he came in at four here. Is this our spiciest take of the show? Jalin Hyatt, Tennessee junior. I mean, I've seen him all over the map from those that have scouted and evaluated the wide receiver position. I think four is high compared to what I'm used to seeing.
Usually you've got at least
do you have
eight.
Him at four, Mike?
I do not.
I
okay.
do.
But
I have...
Let me double check where I think I had him at five. So it was not like I'm not, you guys are, yeah, I'm at currently at five.
He is, to me, the, like I've had him ranked as high as two in this draft class this offseason.
You do like you some Jalin Hyatt.
And I have questioned a lot about myself and like, as this, and part of it is just the risk of like, look, this guy might not have the draft capital to back that up at all, but on film, one of my favorite wide receivers to watch from this entire rookie wide receiver class.
He was,
I think he possesses some elite traits and abilities, and I think he might surprise some people.
Yeah, he was outstanding this last year. 15 touchdowns, 1,267 yards, was, you know, one of the absolute best wide receivers. He
go
was
watch
this
the
last
Alabama
year's
game.
Biletnikoff winner, the Alabama
oh
game.
God.
Oh, man, 207 yards. Five touchdowns against Alabama. I don't think anyone's ever done that against Alabama before. He is very, very fast. Honestly, this should tell you what you need to know about his skill set. He ran a 4.4 at the combine, which is a very fast speed. and dropped in everyone's eyes. It was a massive disappointment when he ran a 4.4, because when you watch the film, he's behind everyone always. He can run away from everyone, and you just thought he's going to come in and run a 4.3. So there was a little bit of disappointment there, but on film, he was great. There
he's
are
little
some,
as well.
I was going to say there are some red flags. The reason he's, you know, not higher, he's also 176 pounds, also runs a lot through the slot, so maybe he's hopefully more like a Tyler Lockett type of player that can get open quickly, get down with a smaller frame, but he did find space. He is young, but he only had the 1 year of production. He really came from, you know, 2 years ago, 21 receptions, 226 yards, and then just exploded this last year. Even though I can't stand the way he holds his head down when he runs, I had to, get that.
Let's
show.
Just talk about this, because, which, by the way, I mean, we only have 1 year of JSN as well, to be fair. But,
sure.
But when we're scouting Jalen Hyatt, Jason cannot handle something about his running posture where Jason thinks his skeleton is not shaped right, or something.
He's like got the little neck hunch over thing where his head is down
he's
and forward.
He's protecting his neck.
I think this guy has a cell phone problem. I really do.
Oh,
I believe he is spending 10 to 12 hours a day on his cell phone, and his neck posture is a real – it's going to be a problem when he gets older.
It's a permanent thing?
Absolutely. He takes that helmet off. Maybe his hair is too heavy. I don't know what it is, but he can't hold his head up.
Like if you were at the combine and you were making notes with the interview?
I wonder if it is actually in my notes.
Oh, let's take a look. Because
I'll pull it up.
Jason has exclaimed in the office multiple times, as a
it's in there.
My note says runs with his head stupid. Yep, it's in there.
I mean, he, yeah, spare no.
So I like him, but he does run with his head stupid.
So a pretty big difference of the 1 year of Jalen Hyatt and the 1 year of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Jaxon did that when he was 19 years old, and Hyatt did it where he was almost 21. So I mean, like, that's when your breakout age. So Hyatt's breakout age is not where we prefer to see it. We prefer to see guys breaking out in their year 19.
Mike, it is as early as he was able to do it.
That's the problem.
He decided it's time.
But that's
then,
the problem. And if for those at home, if you're like, well, why does that matter? Well, because if you're like an 18 or 19 year old and you're beating up on young 20 year olds in the NCAA. That's far more indicative of you being a true talent as opposed to being the old person beating up on the kids.
This poor 21-year-old old person.
Old for college breakout.
I understand.
I'm just saying that.
I understand.
I like him too. I mean, I have him at 5 right now. Looking at, you know, NFL mock draft database, they have him projected currently right around 39,
round.
So that puts him at the top of the second round. But
I'm booking a room.
You got to keep in mind.
I'm at the Hyatt.
I see what you did. You got to keep in mind, Mike, when he was in his age 20 season, he couldn't break out because his teammate across the field was 45 years old. Velus Jones was an old man on the field. So he was playing ahead of him.
I forgot. So he was a Vol. Velus was Tennessee. Yeah. What are they? And they got my boy Hendon. Would they just keep the grandpas down there? What are they doing?
To keep the grandpas in Tennessee.
They age them.
The collegiate grandfathers.
Look, this grandpa won the award for best wide receiver.
Yeah, he did. He did, and you cannot take that away.
And this production is in the SEC, so he's doing it against
Alabama.
cornerbacks that he's going to find in the NFL.
But the head stupid thing is
also a big concern,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, dear goodness. All right, Zay Flowers comes in at 5. Boston College. Can't wait to hear what Mike thinks about this 22-year-old. 22 and a half. I mean, is that – is he in a home?
No. His breakout age was 20.
5'9", 182.
So younger than Hyatt's.
5'9", 182 is small.
Yeah.
What constitutes a collegiate breakout in your mind then?
Their breakout age? I don't have the...
Because I'm curious
So our analytics are looking for a 20% dominator rating, which is a dominator rating would be a combination of total team yards and total team touchdowns.
Okay. Zay Flowers.
Super easy to do.
Yeah.
For old people.
For old people. What do you think of Zay?
I like Zay as...
Oh, good, because I like him.
I like Zay as an actual wide receiver.
How far down the steps are we getting?
Just one more step down. In fact, I would say Hyatt and Zay Flowers, I'm staying on the same step. Zay Flowers is a better wide receiver than Hyatt. As far as just well-rounded, a very good route runner. He is very smart. You watch, you know, Mike, you just talked about it a little while ago. There are players that you can't track it on your spreadsheet, but they know how to manipulate defenders. They know how to read a zone. They know where the play is supposed to go and where to not be when it starts so that they can end up where they're supposed to be. And Zay Flowers is really, really good at that. I like Zay Flowers as a prospect. I like him for the NFL. I have worries when it comes to how he will translate for fantasy football. He doesn't dominate the way that Jordan Addison does.
I was
going
to say, what separates him from Addison? Because they seem similar to me.
Jordan Addison, to me, is a level up where he will demand targets. Zay Flowers will receive targets, and that's the difference to me. So, also, you know, as silly and minute as it is, when we're talking about this, these height, these weight, these reach, you know, you've got Addison is lanky. Addison has longer arms and has a wider wingspan to catch the ball. Zay Flowers has little tiny itty bitty baby arms. It's kind of like a little T-Rex out there.
Oh, and come on.
I'm just saying, look, T-Rex, he's a monster. He's going to kill some people out there. But not with his arms. And so, I don't, you know, Zay Flowers, I worry about how he will.
Are they going to let him catch with his mouth?
This is a Jack Doyle situation all over again?
Baby arms. Let's not do that to Zay Flowers yet, because I do like him as a prospect. I think he's a quality player. He had three really productive years. Smaller, but he's fast. Ran a 4.42. To me, you're hoping that he can be a Brandon Cooks type. And I think that he's probably going to move to the inside. Guys, this body type will not stay on the outside and succeed often in the NFL. So there's some translation from, you know, something different than what he did in college. And so there's just some concerns about whether or not he'll be able to put up enough fantasy points.
Josh Downs at 6.
Too high.
Not a fan.
I jumped.
5'9", 171.
I jumped off the stairs. I'm down on the ground.
You are.
I just don't.
You're
don't
downs
like,
on him.
Yeah, I'm downs on Josh.
Boston.
I know a lot of people that, you know, I see it online. Josh Downs is better than Zay Flowers. They're similarly sized, even though Josh Downs is even smaller.
Kyle is crying.
Kyle, what is the take that you just shared with us on Slack?
He was too productive for you, Jason. Was that it? Is that the problem?
Yes, he was too productive for me. Last two
broke
seasons.
Broke out at 20.
He had 101 receptions for 1,335 yards. He had 94 receptions for 1,029 yards. Those are great, productive seasons. And if I was just a spreadsheet bro, I think I would really, really like Josh Downs. But he's not a great route runner. He plays so weak. There's a lot of manufactured plays for him that produce in the stat sheet that will not work in the NFL. And I just think he is too small and too weak to be relevant for fantasy. I mean, you know, you look at, there's a lot of super productive players that put up mind-blowing numbers in college that are just, you know, their body is made for college, not for the NFL. Danelle Pumphrey says, what? And so, yeah, I'm out on Josh Downs. I am in the minority there. A lot of people love Josh Downs. So you guys can... If you have nice things to say, talk them up, because I don't want the Foot Clan to just hear my take and say, oh, then I have to not draft Josh Downs. I could be wrong.
I think he profiles as a fine 2-3 type of wide receiver at the NFL level, which doesn't make me super excited about him as a fantasy prospect. I will say, since we're getting to the category of other names to mention.
I'm moving him down.
Downs?
Downs.
I like Marvin Mims more.
Me too. I really like Marvin Mims.
And M&Ms.
And Cedric Tillman.
I think.
How are you going to just gloss over the M&Ms joke? with Cedric. Don't bring Cedric Tillman into this yet.
Sorry.
Respect the joke.
Okay. That's pretty good.
You do like
there was a little
both of those things.
Yes.
And well, the peanut butter kind.
The peanut butter is the best.
Peanut butter is
oh my goodness gracious.
Are we out on peanut?
I'm fine. I'm okay.
Good, right?
I'm
peanut
okay.
Is a solid third option of M&M's.
The only
it's number two.
Wait, what's
I'll,
no,
I'll take
what's
classic.
Number, what? Oh, classic.
Yeah, I'm going peanut butter M&M's, classic M&M's.
You don't like the Krispies?
Peanut M&M's. Oh, well, Krispies are a little bit too niche to go into the main rankings. If we're including
niche.
that niche. That's like
got it.
That's like playing an IDP. If we're adding if we're adding
it's not mainstream enough to be ranked.
Exactly right. But if I'm playing in one of those leagues,
we don't think we've got the Krispies.
Crunch
there?
Is up at number two. The Krispies.
Well, what are the main this is a real big deterrent.
Not
detour.
A sponsor.
No, not at all. Of either Mervin Mims or M&M's. But what are the mains then that you can rank? Is it just classic peanut and I mean almonds, right?
There's almond M&M's.
I don't know. Should be.
That's
like
news
that's
to
too,
me.
Too
there's
big
probably,
to fit in an M&M.
They've probably not.
They have gone the Oreo route though. So there's like the Nutella M&M's. There's
there?
Caramel
but that,
M&M's.
Those are all IDP M&M's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are IDP.
No, just stick with the peanut butters.
All right. Well, we'll go back to Mervin Mims Jr. out of Oklahoma. Another player similar to Hyatt.
Wait, so nothing nice to say about Josh Downs? Or are we done?
The only thing we said was Mike said he's moving him down.
He's very productive.
Okay.
I just am not look.
He's
5'9", 170.
He's 5'9", 171. When I watched the All 22, I could barely find him because it zoomed out. And the issue here is like, look, Rondale Moore is exciting, and he's 10 pounds heavier than this guy, and he's an itty bitty guy. But he ran a 4.36. Josh Downs ran a 4.48.
Yeah,
at 171.
They do
pounds.
Make almond M&Ms.
They do?
For the
that
record.
Sounds like Josh Downs. I'm out. No, no thank you on the almonds.
Those have to be so misshapen.
That's, I don't know. I think you can get, can't you make
if
almonds
round,
a little smaller?
If they are round, there is so much extra chocolate on the sides of those.
They are not round. They're okay. Like egg-shaped or almond-shaped.
Almond-shaped. What shape does this remind me of?
I would have said egg-shaped, too, Al.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get your back
I
on that
I stand by
one.
It.
And the peanut M&Ms, what are those shaped like?
Almonds.
Those are shaped like lumpy M&Ms.
Yeah, the problem with the peanut versus peanut butter is the peanut butter are perfectly consistent,
mm-hmm.
whereas the peanut M&Ms, I would say 4 out of 5 are great, and then you get one bad peanut. I mean, it's a little bit of a twist of the taste.
You don't want bad nuts.
No. Mervin Mims is a player like Jalin Hyatt to me that jumped off when you watched the film. He's certainly not miniature like so many of these other wide receivers. You know, he's not huge either, but I just liked what I saw in film. And Jason, I know you and I share that opinion.
100%.
And he ran a 4.38, so that doesn't bother me either.
4.38, blazing speed, which showed up on film. He's 5'11", 183, so a little bit taller, 10 pounds heavier. And you've got a guy who is also productive. You know, right off the bat, from his rookie season, he comes in and has 610 yards.
Elite breakout age.
He's still only 21.
Mike Wright, breakout age expert.
He's 21 years old after 3 productive seasons. I loved the film. I love the production. I love the age. The size and speed say that there is a place for this to work for fantasy, for long bomb touchdowns. And I remember listening to a couple of scouts that were talking at the combine, and they were sharing about how it seemed like teams did not want people to talk about this player, almost like don't
almost
talk.
Like don't Mims the word
right it, oh yes Andy Mims the word
this is all I have to add to the show but
and so we'll see what his draft capital is right now. You know, if you go to Grinding the Mocks and you look at mock draft databases, he's not a super high draft capital player, but I wouldn't be surprised if when we leave the
draft.
He's
a draft day shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are surprised.
The only other name I want to throw out that I really like is Cedric Tillman, Jalin
Hyatt's
teammate.
That's who I just
moved
above Josh Downs.
Yeah, I really like Cedric Tillman in a class where you'll notice, like we just said, Mervin Mims isn't an itty-bitty baby guy. He weighs 183 pounds. This is a small class. Cedric Tillman is actually a big body guy who has good body control.
He's about the same size as Johnson, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's
6'3", 220 range.
Is he 6'3"?
6'3", 215.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
so
guys, bad breakout age.
Oh,
I'm sorry to be the one that has to bring it up.
But remember, Tennessee.
Oh, yes. I mean, yeah, they love the grandpas.
I mean, when you think about when our career really got going, Mike, we are
for podcasters
a good example.
We had an elite breakout.
Oh, did we?
Yes, absolutely. But for college players, okay. Cedric Tillman. I mean, there's a couple grays coming in on the chin.
I mean, there are a whole bunch of players with no breakouts.
Yes,
and they are way worse off than these late breakouts.
Yes,
yeah, he's 23 years old, so he's an older prospect. That's part of the reason. Another part of the reason why he's not as high. He dealt with injuries this last year. Only played in 6 games. 2 years ago, he was part of the thing keeping Jalin Hyatt on the sideline. He was their number one wide receiver, and then got injured this last year. But when I watch film, there's nothing I don't like about him. He isn't the burner that Quentin Johnston is. He ran a 4.54 40. But he is fast enough, has great body control. He actually has unbelievable hands, a great catch rate, unlike Quentin Johnston. You want to throw him contested catches, and he also gets open. So I really do like him. He is far more likely, in my opinion, to have relevance in fantasy than some of these other small guys.
You guys want to talk about a couple tight ends real quick? Not really. Mike, do you have any other wide receivers that you want to throw out there?
No, Cedric Tillman was the one I wanted to make sure we highlighted.
No Parker Washington, no booty?
No.
No shake that booty?
Booty, rocking everywhere.
Or booty. No, we're back. We went to booty. Went to booty.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
And unfortunately, none of us are big on you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Booty.
Yeah. Dalton Kincaid.
Hey, man.
And Michael Mayer.
Dalton Kincaid is good. Look.
Oh, stunning analysis.
You
were saying this before the show. You were kind of just like not.
Yeah, I know.
Into he tight end hype.
70 for 890 and 8. Like,
cool.
These are good numbers for a college NFL or college tight end moving into the NFL. But the trying to get excited about these rookie tight ends over and over and over is not working out.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
You don't get the payoff, right? There's certain investments.
This isn't like putting into a stock though. This is like,
this is a CD. Yes. And it's a 2-year time period.
Yeah. With like a 1.5% return where it's like, yeah, when you get it back, you're going to have slightly more money and you'll be happy you did it in 10 years. But for the next 5,
you know what that sounds like? That sounds like David Njoku.
Right.
That sounds like Evan Engram. That sounds like guys who were drafted in the first round of the NFL draft.
OJ Howard.
Cole Kmet.
Hyped up as, you know, fantasy options, and then they never come to fruition.
Trey McBride.
I mean, the list is all of them.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather have Cole Kmet or either of these two? Like, if you could just choose
Cole Kmet.
I would take either one of these two over Cole Kmet.
Okay. So, I mean,
these are good
prospects.
They're
so similar to one another. Their production was almost identical. Their size, very similar. Kincaid is older. I mean, Mayer is a couple years younger, I think.
Mayer is currently 21. He's 21.8 years old, but he has had 2 years of production. So he was very young when he actually broke out.
And you elected him to be number one on your rankings,
right? He is
right?
My number one. I believe both of these tight ends are good, but I think what's important for the Foot Clan to know, if you're going into drafts, whether it's redrafts or dynasty, these guys aren't going to do anything this year. And so don't draft them. And when you're thinking on a dynasty perspective, you're like, well, I know they're not going to do anything right now, but they are. This is a really, really good tight end class for the NFL. There's going to be at least 3 first round tight ends. There could be 4. I've seen one mock with 5. That seems a little crazy, but there's a lot of talented athletic tight ends this year, and there's going to be some hype around them. And in your rookie drafts, there's going to be people taking them probably in the first round. Michael Mayer, I would say his ADP right now is the back of the first in non-superflex leagues, and I would just tell you don't do it. That's all I'm saying is don't do it, because the hit rate on any tight end and all tight ends is basically 10%.
He's following in the footsteps of Kyle Rudolph. Right? Yeah. Rudolph went to Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, come on. That reference had to land somewhere.
Kyle Rudolph was okay for a bit.
Yeah. All these guys are okay from time to time. Noah Fant, first round pick, super athletic. He's going to be hyped up.
How do we even talk about
Hayden Hurst, Eric Ebron, Tyler Eifert?
What if you're
these
committing,
are first round picks.
What if you're committing to Marvin Mims and then you want to go Michael Mayer?
Oh, just Ooh. For the alliteration?
Just for to
I
be
think
consistent.
You can only do that if you can find someone to grab in the third. If you can't complete the three-round rookie draft with M&Ms, then don't, you know.
Don't even trade the pick.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. No, if you've only got a first and second, you could pull that off.
Maybe
but
spend
honestly,
that round consuming a chocolatey product.
Truly, I'm not sure that I would spend a second-round pick on these guys. There are, you know, I've got some research.
Darnell
that
Washington, any hope?
He's so athletic. He is a behemoth mountain monster of a man. So maybe he counts in the third round just because of those.
264.
Yeah, I mean, I watched his interview. He's like, I used to
think
I was
bad news on the breakout age.
Travis, well, look, it takes a while to grow a mountain, Mike.
The answer for him is infinity.
Actually, isn't it really quick with like a volcano?
Because there was no true breakouts.
Well, right. He's not the pass catcher. He's a well-rounded tight end. For fantasy purposes, Washington will get drafted in the first round, and some people will want to take a shot on such a hyper-athletic guy. Maybe he goes to a system where they use the tight ends and there's narratives to draft him. But in college, he was as much a blocker. He called himself Mercedes Lewis.
Who was the tight end that just got more money than Dalton Schultz?
Blocker?
Oh, up in
Josh
Minnesota.
Oliver?
It was Josh Oliver. Yeah. Darnell, there's your goal there. Go make that Josh Oliver money.
I've got when we eventually get to tight ends on the Dynasty podcast, I'll run you through the day one and two, the total tight ends and the
that
hit rates.
That part of the pod will not be 80 minutes.
Yeah, I will make it as quick as possible, rip the Band-Aid off, and the you know, the too long
didn't even
read is don't draft tight ends. Just wait and grab them off waivers. Trade for them once they've broken out.
Yes.
Don't waste your picks. 10% hit rate from the day one and day two guys. Is
you know
not,
what I did?
That's like you hope. What's your third round?
Here's
pick?
What I did last year.
Your hit rate on a
your
third?
Hit round on a third round pick is probably
10, a little bit higher.
12%.
I think 2 years in a row in Dynasty, I have wait because I never have picks. I have free agency'd Dulcich and then somebody else the year before and been able to flip those guys and I didn't have to invest anything.
Yeah. Smart.
More to come in the Dynasty world.
Always.
Subscribe to the Dynasty podcast. Next week you said is wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be every Wednesday for those that are somehow hearing about this for the first time. But very excited to have gone over these guys. If you want to see all the rookie rankings, they're in the Dynasty Pass, like not just the six we talked about at length, but you'll see where we have guys slotted in. I think at this very, I think Josh Downs is always moving down one spot. It's kind of an active GIF in Jason's rankings.
Josh moves Downs.
Yeah, and you can check that out, the Dynasty Pass and the full UDK.
I think I just heard Kyle move him up in his rankings, just to be contrarian.
Just to balance the universe.
You keep us whole, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah, so, all right, that's ultimatedraftkit.com if you want to check that out. You heard me talk about it before. Early running back rankings, countdown shows Tuesday and Thursday. And speaking of which, we've started to work through those rankings. Maybe I'll throw this news in there, but like Austin Eckler has come out and said, probably going to have to play another year with the Chargers.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Didn't find a lot of.
No one's trading for Austin Eckler and giving him another contract.
He straight up said, he goes, teams don't want to pay me $10 million a year and compensate the Chargers at the same time. So he said he's probably going to have to just
they
play.
Don't want to give you 10 either.
He's
I think he could get 10.
He's so transparent with everybody.
He's
it's so wonderful.
He's a great dude. And he's
we'll take you. We'll pay up.
We're Foot Clan. We're going to need a little bit more support to get Austin Eckler on board.
Brooks has got this. Look, so some team right now, though, if they wanted to, if they just wanted to play like fantasy GM, there's a team out there. They could just go like grab Lamar Jackson and grab Austin Eckler, like, and then grab DeAndre Hopkins. Like you could grab those three guys and just completely bury your payroll
and your future
and the next GM that comes. But I mean, these GMs, they can just leave.
Yeah. So have fun. Do it. Someone.
How cool would that be, though?
That would be pretty wild. But Eckler will almost definitely be back playing for the Chargers.
Well, that matters to my early running back rankings.
What about?
And it also hurts.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Hit it. Hit it.
We almost made it. It's past an hour. So, and we thought we'd not talk about it.
Yeah. Give us your take. Austin Eckler is there this year.
Yeah. I gotta move him down because the Chargers were my
Bijan.
I gotta move the Chargers down on my Bijan list because the Chargers were my number one destination. Under the presumption that if they were to draft Bijan, they would trade and get rid of Austin Eckler. If there is not the market for him, I still believe they could go after Bijan and have the heir apparent. But then year one, you would have a massive hit to both players production-wise, and it would make me a little sad.
And we don't want that. We want you positive.
Yeah, you don't want to see me angry. This was me being positive.
All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey there, Foot Clan. You still listening? I want to take a second and invite you to become a part of the world's greatest fantasy football community. You know them as the Foot Clan. By supporting the show at jointhefoot.com, you get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of 30,000-plus like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools that help you win each week. You can learn more at jointhefoot.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.